morning. I'm Daryl Miller, and welcome to another edition of Immediate Response. We are live on the ZNS radio and the television networks carried throughout the Bahamas and in South Florida. We're also live on radio and the television in the Turks and the Caicos Islands. And you can log on to www.ZNSBahamas.com. Let us pray. Our God and our Father who art in heaven, we come to you this morning to thank you for the rain and for the sunshine and for the beautiful weather with which you have blessed us. We pray, O Lord, for your continued guidance upon all of us who live in these islands, who visit here and who do business here. Give us all vision, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we might be able to deal with the many, many issues that confront us. Today, as we conduct this show, guide our thoughts and direct our speech in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to need another camera. Today's show is being brought to you by Altex Underwear, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Tile King, Mydens Wholesale for your long-distance Indigo calling cards, by Security Plus, Texaco Bahamas, Snack Food Wholesale, Twin Brothers, the Boyd Road location where they will be giving away books and pencils for the children tomorrow, by the original Walk-In Medical Clinics on Collins Avenue and at Sandyport, by Eden's Community and Daycare Center. They have been around since 1970, now registering for September. By Brandy's Boutique on Coconut Grove Avenue, and by Twin Brothers Coconut Grove Avenue, where they will be feeding the needy and also giving away books and pencils this Sunday from 3 to 5. We're going to allow our technical team to bring in another camera because we do have a guest today, and one camera will not be able to accommodate what we have planned for today. Our very special guest today is Mr. Paul Miller, who is the founder of Turning Point Ministries. Maybe we can do a two-camera shoot. Vaughn, can you hear me? Our very special guest on Immediate Response today is Mr. Paul Miller of Turning Point Ministries. Mr. Miller, welcome to Immediate Response.
Thank you, Brother Miller, and good afternoon, good morning, Bahamas.
We're going to take a break because we need two cameras, or maybe this one camera can do two shots. Maybe one camera can do a two shot. We're going to take a quick break to sort out the logistics in our studios, and we'll be back right after these messages. We are going to be talking about the National Lottery. Our very special guest today is Paul Miller of Turning Point Ministries. Mr. Miller, once again, welcome to Immediate Response.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Thanks for having me.
And just for the record, Paul Miller is no relative of mine, as far as I know. You are diametrically opposed to the National Lottery.
Not me, sir, but my Heavenly Father. If it was up to me, I'd say let it be. But based on historical records and biblical facts, I have to go on the Bible side because the Bible always pans out to be right. The Bible also tells us that why follow a multitude to do evil. We also find examples in the Bible where the Bible says the majority was never right. So here we are today in this late stage of age history, and people are trying to figure out, should we find another means of taking care of our families? And based on the Word of God, I say no.
Based on the Word of God.
Yes, sir. Based on the Word of God, I have to say no. The evidence is moreover stacked up on the Lord's side than it is on the devil's side. I truly believe that lottery is not the plan of the Lord, but it is the plan of the devil.
Show me where in the Word that is.
I have an illustration I'd like to do before we get to the illustration. The Bible.
No, you say based on the word, you based say no. So give me the word that caused you to conclude no.
In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, we will find the creation story where the Lord created the world. In 6 days, he created the world, and on the seventh day, he rested. You will also discover that after he created the world in Genesis chapter 2, where Jesus told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. You also find in Genesis chapter 2 where the Lord went about and planted a garden in Eden. Even we see our Lord, the creator of mankind, the creator of everything that exists in the world, went about working long before he gave man his task to go ahead and work. It's because of sin we have pain and toil because of working. We also see in the Genesis story where Adam was told to till the ground, and the Lord told him because of sin, he'll bring forth thorns and thistles. So here we are today in late stage of its history. Men want to do away with working, bury their talent if you may, and say they're going to try to do the easy side by doing two things, working, some not even working, just playing the blocks, so they're hoping that one day they'll hit the jackpot and become rich of someone else's gain or substance, not working the way God has designed it to be. We also said that the Bible said God has given to every man a talent. And today, sad to say, most of our men and women are burying their talents, whatever that gift may be. I remember when I was in school, I always wanted to know.
Mr. Miller.
Yes, sir.
The question is, show us in the Word, in the Bible, what it was that caused you to conclude that God and the Word is against a national lottery.
Well,
so far you haven't done that.
All right, Brother Miller. The Bible tells us, if a man doesn't work, he should not eat. In the midst of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment to be exact, the Lord laid down a principle at the end of the fourth commandment. He says, in 6 days, the Lord made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Lord is telling us 6 days we should labor. Notice carefully, not 6 days we shall win.
Okay.
What if
for the 6 days, 80% of the people labor? They work to the government. They work to Atlantis. They work to Cable Beach. They work to the Chinese store over the hill. They work at Bamboo Shack. They work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they still go to buy numbers. Where is the word that says, after you have worked, you shouldn't buy numbers?
It's in the word, based on the simple fact of labor. The Bible says, by the sweat of your eyebrow, you should eat bread. We must remember that anytime man wants to go contrary to, there's nothing in the word says that you should. That you should go and buy numbers. All the word says is you should work. You should work for what you want. And this is the reason why men have become so corrupt, because they don't want to stand on the word. Jesus told us in the word, and at this time I like to do this, and Jesus told us in Matthew 4, and when Jesus was tempted after 40 days of fasting, the devil came to him after fasting for 40 days, and Jesus was hungry. You must admit that after not eating for 40 days. And Jesus told the devil in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, verses 3 to begin, he said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. So he told him that, you give the Lord an instruction, I want you to turn these stones into bread.
For our radio audience, I'd like to say that you have a bag of stones and a bag of sliced bread.
Yes. And Jesus told him, man should not live by bread alone.
You also have a bag of dollar bills.
Yes. And Jesus told him, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the Bible tells us, based on this account, the devil right off the bat wanted the Lord to do away with the work of working. He wanted the Lord to work some power beyond what he was supposed to do while he's here on earth, to use his divine powers, because there's nowhere man can turn stones into bread. The only way it can be done if you're God, and God could have done that, but he wanted to show the human part that once we rely on our Heavenly Father, like he relied on his Heavenly Father, we too can live the upright life. So what is the devil doing today? The devil is telling men and women today that you can take a dollar bill and turn it into a bunch of dollars. The temptation still exists. Well, the devil wants a $1 bill and turn it into a bunch of dollar bills. Which God says, no, that's not working. The Bible is quite clear. Jesus says, take no thought of what you can do for tomorrow. Even the birds if we take care of them. What make you think about taking care of the birds and the bees and the cows? What make you think I won't take care of you? He said, consider the lilies how they grow and they toil not. How much more do your Heavenly Father care about you? God is able. David said in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, he have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And I put it to the Bahamian audience today. Can one family member call would say that it was true, the $1 plane of a bunch of money came in, that's how their family took care of them. I'm sure there's no family, no person can call today and say that their family members took care of them all through their life by sitting home all day and playing the number game. It's not heard of. All it brings is chaos. And I put it to the Bahamian public, if you would just trust in the Word of God, the Lord has promised, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that are needed shall be added unto us. That's the promise. Do we believe the word, or are we going to believe the lie of the devil by asking us to turn stones into bread? It cannot happen, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord way is sure, and it's proved to be perfectly played out, because me and Brother Miller are prime examples of that. Brother Darrell Miller, where our parents work hard to put us to where we are today through the promises that are written in the Word of God.
Do you have any other scripture that can back up what you're saying? Because really, so far, you haven't quoted any scripture.
Okay.
That backs up what you're saying, no to the lottery. You talked about work, but I put it to you that most of the people who buy the numbers are working.
That is
so
true.
They are working.
That is true, my brother. They might be working.
In their entertainment, in their evenings, in their after-work activity, they buy numbers.
That is true. But does that make it right? That's the question we
need
to ask.
No, but you show me in your scripture where it ain't right.
Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verses 4. They that forsake the law, meaning the law of God, where the principle says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. They that forsake the law, or forsake the principle of laboring 6 days, praise the wicked. But such that keep the law, contend with them. Verse 5 says, an evil man understand not the judgments. See, these things are spiritually discerning, my brothers and sisters. The only way you can understand what it is the Lord is trying to say to this is, are you spiritually connected with him? These things are not to the carnal mind. That's why at the beginning I said, if it was not on the word, I would say, okay, let's go for it. When I compare the statistics, they told me just yesterday that you can use $1 and collect anywhere between $600 to $800. That sounds good. If you could just pay a dollar every day, hopefully that you get a kickback of $600 to $800. But when you stand on the word, you realize that cannot be. The Bible says in verse 5 that an evil man understands not the judgments. For they that seek it of the Lord have all understanding, and it only comes when we are wrapped up and tangled up in Jesus Christ. Verse 6 of Proverbs 28 says, better is the poor man that walketh upright than he that is corrupt in his ways, though he be rich. Let me repeat that. The Bible says, better that you and I be poor and walk upright than to be corrupt in the ways than those that be rich. Verse 9 says of Proverbs 28, he that turned away is ill. From hearing the law of God, even his prayer should be an abomination. Verse 13 of the same chapter says, he that covered his sins shall not prosper. Could it be this is why we are not prospering today? Because we have covered our sins. And there are 10 of them listed in Exodus chapter 20. He that covered his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever shall confess it and forsake them, the Lord shall have mercy.
So you're saying playing the lottery is a sin?
Yes, it is. It's definitely a sin. If it was not a sin, the Lord would have
put it. Where does it say that in the Bible, Paul Miller?
I'll put it to, well, let's let a caller call in to show from the Bible where the Bible says it's okay.
Because it doesn't say it's okay means that it says it's not okay.
Yes, it do. In the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, the Bible lays a principle here. It says that whatever you and I should do should be from the Word of God. And this is why it's so important. In Revelation 22, beginning at verse 18, the Bible says, for I testify unto every man that hear the word of this prophecy of this book. If any man add unto the things that are written in this book, God should add to him the plagues that are written in this book. You will find those plagues in Revelation chapter 16. And if any man should take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God should take his name out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and those things that are written in the book. So the Bible says, whatever principle we have, it must come from the word.
Okay, let's move on from finding scripture that justify your position. I'm not satisfied that you have found any, at least not what you've read. But let's move on. We estimate that 80%, perhaps more, of our population plays the lottery. You see, we have a lottery now, albeit underground or untaxed or illegal, whatever you want to call it. But we do have a lottery. We estimate that 80% of our population plays the lottery.
That's sad, because that means that includes some Christians.
Many Christians.
And the Bible is quite clear.
In fact, most of them playing are Christians.
This is what, and you know what they're doing?
So-called Christians.
I'm glad you put it in quotes. So-called Christians, because the Bible says those people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. Romans 1:16 tells us where the power comes from. For you and I should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it, referring to the God, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this is why the gospel has no power. Because Christians, Brother Miller, are taking the gospel in vain. They are not... The Bible, and as a matter of the commandments, tell us we should not bear false witness against our neighbors. We not only bear false witness against our neighbors, we also bear false witness against God. Because why should a Christian want to play the lotto when the Word of God is full of prime examples how he must be blessed? The Christian is totally out of order. And I love for a Christian to call in today to show us where the Word of God justifies him doing what he is doing.
And they will also call in and say, Mr. Miller, Paul Miller, why don't you show us where it says we mustn't play?
I just showed you. In Revelation 22, Revelation 22.
Read that again, man.
Revelation 22 says, for I testify unto every man that hear the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man should honor to these things, God should honor him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man should take away from the word of this book of this prophecy, God should take away his name out of the power of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book.
So where does it say don't play the lottery in that?
It is here based on the principle of 6 days you should labor.
But
the sweat of your eyebrow, you should
labor. But we come right back to the same point. I labored 6 days. I labored for 12 hours on each of the 6 days. And then I stopped by the web shop to buy a ticket.
And when they did that, they were out of order. They were breaking the commandment of God.
But you ain't showing that to me in the book.
They have then crossed over on the devil's playing ground. God did not design the lotto. If God designed the lotto, it would be in the Word. It'd be in the Word where
That God designed the computer?
Yes, he did. True men. The book of Daniel talks about that.
So
Daniel,
God designed everything then?
He designed all those things. The Bible says
So he designed the lottery?
No, he didn't. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. The lotto is not designed by God. Yes, God gave men the wisdom to build the computers. And we thank God for that technology, because today the gospel can go through the whole world through computer. We thank God for giving man, but the problem is that computer now has become a corruptible tool, where men are using these instruments now to glorify Satan. And Satan sits back in his easy chair, realizing this world is wrapping up. And he realized that when hell was created, it was created for the devil and his angels. And he also realized that if he do away with the principle of working 6 days and resting one, which is the 7 day, he realized we're going to find ourselves in problem and Christ should come, or we'll be outside the kingdom of God.
So what should we do? We have this pervasive problem. Well, some people don't think it's a problem. We have this pervasive situation where we estimate 80% of the population buying numbers involved in the national, involved in a lottery. What should we do?
What needs to be done, Brother Dowell? The first thing people need to do is to turn their hearts to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They cannot do it by themselves. Like I said earlier, our carnal mind is not subject to the things of God. We have to surrender to Him. Okay. Once we surrender ourselves totally to Him, then He will take over and we pick up a new passion.
Now you know the 80% who playing all are not going to turn themselves to Him.
And that too for
that's a utopian situation where everybody is a Christian. We are simply not going to have that. You agree?
I agree with you, Brother Miller.
Okay, so what do we do?
All we do is continue to preach the gospel. Do not compromise.
What does the government do then?
What the government can do, the government needs to stay out of it. If people want to do it, let them do it. We have police officers to lock them up if they are found guilty. What I mean by that, God give all of us freedom of choice. If you have the free, just like the right now is illegal for us to have the number of houses to open up. It's not legalized in the Bahamas for us to have the number of houses open. If it is, there'll be something new to me. So that means our police officers are not doing their job, and God will hold them accountable also.
The game has evolved to such a point where the person don't have these dollars which you bring anymore. They don't walk into the web shop with the dollars necessarily anymore. They have an account. It's like they're going into a store where they have credit. Mm-hmm. Let's say they walk into John Bull and they have credit in John Bull, and they point to the ring. They say, "I want that ring. The ring is $100. John Bull goes and puts that $100 on their account. So now, you following me?
Yes, I'm following you.
So what is the police to do? The police is to, it's all computerized now. The police to lock up the computer?
No, what happens in the case of that dollars known with the Bible known as a secret sin? You're doing a sin in disguise. But be assured, the Bible says every secret sin will be dealt with. Those that are in a secret will be dealt with, and those that be done openly, if not confessed, will be dealt with. But those that are done openly, the police department need to deal with it. Because in the judgment, they're going to give an account. If the police department know their number of houses set up and they're not dealing with it, they're going to give an account. The government already passed a law that the only casino that should be open working legally is the ones on Paradise Island and the ones out west.
Interesting you mentioned that. You agree with that?
No, it's not right. What the government needs to do, the government needs to wash its hands off it. Shut it down.
Shut down the casino?
Yes, sir. And why am I saying that?
Crystal Palace Casino, Atlantis Casino, shut them down?
Yes, sir.
The casinos in Freeport?
Yes, sir.
Shut them down?
Yes, sir. And I know the question is going to ask, where are these people going to find jobs? We must here again remember the word of God says God has given all of us a talent. These people, in the eyes of God, I truly believe, have hidden their talent. All of them, I'm sure if you put them on an interview one-on-one, will tell you there's something hidden within them they love to do, whether it be sewing, cooking, multiplying, whatever it might be. There's a hidden gift that they have stored away they're now using to glorify Satan. Because the number game and the casinos don't benefit God's people. Shut them down and go to work. Whether it be construction, building the houses, cars, whatever it might be.
So the government is sinning then?
Yes, the government is. The government is wrong for doing that. But they might not know. And the good news is today they will hear what the Bible says. Cut it off. It's same thing with alcohol shops. Close them down. If people want to go and drink their liquor, so let it be. But we're not going to collect no taxes from these areas.
Close the liquor stores?
Yes, sir. Close the liquor stores. The Bible says that those who make money off selling liquor will be in count of the judgment.
Show me that.
You won't be sure.
And, man. Okay. You can't just put these things off the top of your head. You got to show these. And as you look for that, the way the casinos are now, the law says if you're a resident in the Bahamas and gainfully employed in the Bahamas, you shall not game in the Bahamas. But we allow the visitors to come and game in the Bahamas. Do you see a hypocritical position there?
It is, sir. And this is the reason why I say shut them down. When our former Prime Minister, I think it was Prime Minister Penland, I think he was the one that legalized that. I mean, give us the grass over. I don't know exactly.
No, casinos, the laws on casinos existed prior to 67.
Who was it that said Bahamas cannot go and gamble? Was it the government that brought it up?
The UBP government
would
have put in place those gaming regulations that we are talking about.
And I think they did it.
Primarily Sir Stafford Sands would have been the architect of that.
And what he was doing was trying to protect his people from getting so evil that he knew would bring destruction. But on the other hand, he opened up so other people can be destructive. God was not pleased. Now, these men might have done this thing ignorantly. In their ignorance, the Bible said God winked. The blood of Christ still covered them in their ignorance. But now that we know the facts, now that we know that these things do not bring what it should bring, the Bible said do away with it. It's clear. hell is going to be filled with, as a matter of fact, the book of Revelation chapter 20 tells us the number of people going to be lost can be like the sand in the sea. That's plenty of people. Enough for sins, sin, singular. Don't care what the sin might be, hate, envy, lust, lying, gambling, whatever the sin might be, if we continue to hold on to that sin, be assured when Christ comes, we'll be lost.
The Catholics love raffles and bingos. In fact, every church that I know of, unless you can tell me a church that don't engage in raffles, but most churches sanction raffles, sanction bingo, where you play for a prize. In a lot of cases, that prize is money.
That's wrong. Whatever it might be, it's wrong. And here again, we need to go on the Word of God. Do not follow a multitude to do right. You cannot vote or sin. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Right now, the church are marrying men and women. It's wrong. I know it might sound strange, but it's wrong. We must realize that the wages of sin, singular, is still there. And Christ died for all of our sins. There's no reason for us to be in hell. But because men do not want to stand on the word, and I call it now preaching the gospel according to their opinion, we have chaos. The gospel has no power anymore. It's gone. Well, people who want to become Christians because of Christians. Because our attitude stinks. We are not living what we preach. Paul says in the book of Corinthians that we are a letter being read of all men. So when we as Christians step out, what are men reading? Are they reading the love of Christ stamped in our lifestyle, in our devotional life, or whatever it may be? Or do they see someone else? It's getting late, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to make up our minds. If we're on the Lord's side, then let's serve Him. If you're on the devil's side, then let's serve Him. Let's be true to the cause. Go all out for the devil if you want to be for the devil. If you're all out for Christ, then do that. And I assure Christ will use you to be a blessing in this nation.
What will happen if we continue along the path that we are on, in your opinion? What would happen if we legalized the lottery?
What will happen? It would not be good. You see, the Bible is full. We have a prime example that took place over here in the United States of America. And I'm sure people have been watching the news, TV 13, CNN, and all these other news.
With respect to Katrina?
Yes, sir. And the book of Proverbs have a strong word for us who don't want to follow the counsel of God. Proverbs chapter 1. And this prophecy is being fulfilled today. Where Jehovah is speaking through natural disasters. We must first realize that God allowed these things to happen. The devil cannot do anything unless we back his protection edge away from us. And because men are about doing their own thing, we have disaster. I'll read to you from Proverbs chapter 1. Begin at verses 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my word unto you. Because I have called and you refuse, I stretched with my hand and no man regarded it. But ye have set at naught all my counsels, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamities, the Lord said. I will mock when your fear cometh, your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, with desolation and anguish come upon you, then shall you call for me, the Lord says, and I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they will not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did the chosen, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They wanted none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own device.
Are you interpreting that as saying if we legalize the lottery, God will turn against us?
I don't think it'd just be based on lottery.
But that's the issue we're talking about.
Yes.
If we continue on this sinful path.
Yes, sir. Destruction is going to come. As a matter of fact, Daniel chapter 12 talks about something that's going to happen in a little while. And I like to ask the nation this, and myself, and also you. In Daniel 12, 1, the Bible says, at that time, Micah shall stand up before unto Jesus Christ, that great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that's found written in the book. And many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake unto everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book even to the time of the end, when men should run to and fro and knowledge should be increased. So Jesus tells us that when he stands up, when his work in the heavenly court is finished, there's going to be a time of trouble that was never was since there was a nation.
This is immediate response. Our very special guest today is Mr. Paul Miller of Turning Point Ministries. We're going to open up the lines for your calls. We are talking about the national lottery. Mr. Miller is opposed to it. He says if we continue the way we are going, God will turn against us. We'll be back in just a minute. Yes, I'm your host, Darrell Miller. If you're looking for our very special guest on immediate response today is Paul Miller of Turning Point Ministries. He is adamantly, diametrically opposed to the national lottery.
Not me, but my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
He's very much upset with the people that realize that the money that he has blessed them with for such a time as that to take care of their families, they want to use it to play the number game. I have a challenge for them. If you spend $10 a day on the lotto, mark that savings in the bank. And don't touch it until you hit the so-called lotto, God forbid. If you play $100 a day on the lotto, save $100 in the bank. Don't touch it. And if you can match it, try it. And most Bahamian people cannot match it.
Really being can't match it.
They can't play $20 a day in the number game and save $20. More than, I'm going to recommend, maybe more than 80% of our Bahamian people cannot do it. Maybe even 90% cannot match their savings every time they play the number game. Now, if they can do it, so be it. But most likely they can't. And are they saying that's what it's going to take for them to surrender totally to Jesus Christ? You must hit the big one, and then you're going to surrender Christ to Christ. Is this why Christians play the number game? Because they're not satisfied with the Lord has blessed them with? Did not their Bible and our Bible say that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things that need should be added unto us? Come on, Christians. Stand with Jesus Christ today. Show the devil you're not going to try to turn stones into bread. Or turn the $1 into $600, $800, God forbid.
Those who support a national lottery are looking at the fact that $2, $3, $4 million a week goes out of this country, either to Miami or Chicago. They're saying these monies can be used at home to fund our athletes, fund other sporting causes, fund cultural development, education, improve that grade from a D to a C, and other worthy causes. This $3-4 million a week that goes out of this country can be used on worthy causes right here at home.
I agree with you 100%, and even God agrees with you, but not on things that don't bring honor and glory to God. For example, you mentioned sports, cultural events. These things don't bring glory to God.
Sports doesn't bring glory to God?
No, it don't. If you read my article,
I see you beginning to talk fool now.
I know. You think it's
here again. To talk fool.
Here again, Brother Miller. Here again, it goes based on, are we hooked up? Are we sold out for Jesus Christ? Paul laid down a principle.
Sports does not bring glory to God.
No, it don't. Sports bring glory to those that are participating. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. It's true. Here again, you cannot find me a principle about where God promoted sports. You can't find me a principle where Jesus promoted sports.
You were doing good up until that point.
I was doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You were doing very good up until that. So you're saying, what are you saying? You're saying our athletes who go and represent this country in the Olympics come back home with a gold medal. They are Christians. Some of them are. Mm-hmm. particularly our boys who won the silver.
Are they challenging them, Brother Miller?
Huh?
If they understand what Christ did on the cross,
they'll stop running.
They understand what's
they'll
happening.
They'll stop running.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you.
Now, what kind of world you
I used to race motorbikes, Brother Dower. I used to race motorbike and cars at the sports center. And in 1991, when the Lord took control of my life, those things vanished. I may sound strange to you, but I'm telling you. And every week, the money I used to take spending doing foolishness, racing cars and buying parts and motorbike stuff, I use here at ZNS to be on the program every Sunday. We have no sponsorship. We are self-supported ministry. And I wasted plenty of God money dealing with racing cars and motorbikes. And I'm telling you, if the gospel of Jesus Christ would grab any of our athletes in the Bahamas and around the world, I assure you they'd be preaching and running a different gospel. And it won't be sports. And one day they'd be sitting in the same chair telling you, Dal, that's true.
There's so no doubt in my children, mind. Our children who go to P.E., in the normal class day. You mean that's sin too?
No, that's not wrong. That's a form of exercise.
I'm
dealing with the competition aspect of it. Competition is what I'm dealing with. God don't want us to use our gifts to compete against each other. All of us have our different gifts and our different abilities for one cause, is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church has missed that. Just someone's smile can turn someone to Jesus Christ. Just you offering someone a ride can turn someone to Jesus Christ. All these are different gifts and different abilities God has given His children for one cause, to be sold out for Him.
So, when the high schools have inter-high school track and field competition at the sports center, that's wrong?
Yes, it is. I know it sounds strange, but it's true. It's not for competition. If they want to go and just run around...
Central American and Caribbean games, what was held here, that was wrong? That was sinful?
Yes, it is. I know it sounds strange. I know it might sound strange, and I know some are not better like what I'm saying, but it's true.
Man, when you're talking, I talk sense. Man.
I'm talking sense. And any minister of the gospel that's listening to this program today will call in and tell us that it's true. Any minister who want to be on.
Ain't no minister can call in and say it's a sin for us to compete in sports.
Ask them. And if they tell you it's not, then I'd like for them to show me a Bible study on it. And I'll come back and I'll revoice what I said.
Show you what?
A Bible study. Where God ordained sports.
A show where He didn't ordain it.
In the Bible, Paul lays an example down in the book of 1 Corinthians. When we go on our break, I'll find the text and make sure I don't. Paul said, there are two races that are being run. There's a set of group running for the corruptible prize, and he's comparing it with sports. Then he said, there's another group running for the spiritual prize. And he compared the two. And he said, those that run for the corruptible prize, only one will win. Like, then we must compare our lives to those who run for the corruptible prize, we must also run for the spiritual prize. That we must be totally sold out in the business of running for Jesus Christ, letting nothing hinder us, that at the end of the time we will gain a spiritual prize and we will receive eternal life. I must be honest. And here again I stand to be correct on anything I share with the listening audience today. If I'm wrong, call me. And this is a principle I always use in the program every week. When I share things that sound a little bit odd and strange, if I'm wrong, call me. Don't have me on the radio or on the show with Darrell Miller sharing concepts that are not biblically ground. I stand to be corrected.
I can correct you now.
Okay, brother.
Ain't nothing wrong with competing in sports. Sports is the most healthy, wholesome, family-oriented activity that we can ever be involved in.
You believe if they do it outside the prize, it could even be better? Without competing, without me
the
trying
to... The prize is a medal. The prize is a ribbon. You come first.
I know, but I mean without beating each other's down.
What do you
I'm
mean?
The champ. Why can't we just play for fun? With no strings attached.
325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405. Those are the numbers here in New Providence. From outside New Providence, it's toll-free, 1-242-300-8255. You can also send us your faxes. The fax number is 322-6532. Let me see if anybody believe in what you're saying. Hello, you're on immediate response.
Good day, Darrell.
Hi.
I'd like to say good day to your guest as well.
Good day. How you doing, sir?
Very well. Darrell, I must take a position today as it relates to the number game in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Darrell, there comes a time in the life of a country and men and women where the upward mobility, the integrity, and the standard of a country must be lifted. In that vein, Darrell, to have the continuous and licensed number racket game in this country is, in my humble opinion, a serious indictment on the part of those of us who are leaders and hoping to become leaders. Because when something is wrong, it is wrong. The number game today in the country is wrong. The Parliament of the Bahamas can do something to correct that by making it legal or making it an act as it is punishable by law. And all the citizens of the Bahamas would realize that playing the number game is an illegal act.
You saying are you saying stiffen the penalty?
I'm not saying stiffen the penalty. I'm saying make a decision as it relates to the number game. Either it is legal, it's going to be legal, and the government is going to gain taxes from it. Like, for example, how could it be fair that people who sell the numbers, they do not pay no national insurance, but when these people become old, when they become old, they expect to benefit from the social agency of the National Insurance Board without contributing after being engaged in an activity that is illegal. And now, the next point. The number game, or the chances of the number game, deprives the government treasury of good money. Because when one would look at the fact that the business license, it competes with the casinos who pays legal fees. And that it is wrong. It is totally wrong for any citizen of the Bahamas to engage in an activity that is illegal and then become mighty and great of an illegal activity. It's just like drug trafficking. Drug trafficking is illegal. And if people engage in it, the penalties should be there whereby if you're caught, and there, of course, there are, let's be realistic. Tomorrow morning, the number of persons engaged in this number racket, they can be hauled before the court and the evidence can be adjudicated.
Yeah,
because
there
are sting operations.
But the challenge is...
You can carry out a sting operation today on the number people, and you lock them up. You lock them up, Darrell. It's all about having the capacity, Darrell, to put right in its perspective. And the number game has long been past the time where the government of the Bahamas needs to set an example as it relates to what is legal.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your call. Immediate response. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing, Darrell?
Okay.
Your last caller seemed to be speaking more on a legal aspect as to the law of the land, but I think your point was more on a moral basis. Am I correct?
Both.
Well, in terms of being moral, I tend to agree with your guest today, but I'm not as judicial about it. I believe that... there are a lot of things that are negative about the lottery, right? The lottery, it pays off poor dividends and is a terrible investment. The lottery can deceive people into thinking that it's a blessing not to work. The lottery causes people to look for unrealistic solutions to their problems. And many different things. You know, the lottery promotes that you look to the Lady of Luck rather than trusting in the living God. Now, he was pointing something to us about... Matthew chapter 6, about no man serving two masters. You see, if we as human beings, not just Bahamians, but wherever we are from, if it was possible for us to serve two masters, then, but I believe that even those of us who work and are hardworking citizens, even when we seek to play the lottery or to spend our hard-earned money trying to get big lump sums, it's a sign to me that our focus is not in the correct direction. Okay? I cannot condemn somebody to hell for playing the lottery because, hey, maybe that's where they are in their step or in their journey in Christianity. I can only be tolerant and allow them to grow, right? But I believe that our source of a financial blessing, whatever development that we can attain, can come only from God. And that's where we need to put our trust.
Thank you very much. Here's a fax coming in. Dear Daryl, you have asked the gentleman for a scripture as reference for his position. Let him consider Proverbs 28 and 22, which says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and consider it not that poverty shall come upon him." As he said, the Bible is based on principles, and the main principle that applies is Philippians 4 and 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus."
Amen. I have that scripture here.
Yeah.
Proverbs 28.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The Bible is clear. Do we want to believe the Bible?
You see, they say, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and consider it not that poverty shall come upon him."
Both physically and spiritually. Physically and spiritually, that will happen to him. Because most of the people who, I believe, have these games going on, don't have nothing to show for it. And if they do, they could take 10, 15 years to do it, and one wrong move, they flat on their face. And we, as Christians, have to be there for them. That's the good news of the gospel. God forbid that ever happened to one of our brothers and sisters. If they come to me to ask and assist, I'm going to help them. If I don't, I'm going to be lost too. I'm going to still stretch up my hands to give them bread and give them clothes to wear if they ever find themselves in that position, God forbid.
Immediate response, hello.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Miller. I'd like to just say this in support of your guest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible definitely says, "Let us not do evil that good may come." Many times people use the national lottery to say that it can help sports and so forth, and I'm in support of sports. But, you know, we should never try to use something that is evil to support something that is good. And many times the gentleman alerted to the fact that judgment may eventually come upon us. You know, it is interesting to note Hurricane Katrina, the areas that it actually struck. Now, many people may not believe that God still judges today. And I'm not saying that this is a judgment of God on Louisiana and on Biloxi, Mississippi. But it is interesting to know that the area of Biloxi, Mississippi is supported mainly by gambling. In fact, the whole...
And Louisiana.
And also Louisiana is a place...
That whole Gulf Coast is a gambling coast.
And notice that how far those boats were driven inland. The casinos were driven. They were totally destroyed. And Mardi Gras... You see, God has standards. And eventually...
You know what they do? You know what they do in New Orleans? You know what the women do come Mardi Gras time?
That's what I'm saying, Mr. Miller. You see, God has standards. The wickedness that has to eventually be judged at some point. Notice the French Quarters, everybody was saying, "Oh, we finally escaped." And suddenly the next day, when they said peace and safety, then destruction came. The dam break loose. And the whole area was flooded. And all those areas that are known for the, you know, where those ladies be out and show their breasts and so forth and throwing their beads and so forth, all those areas were destroyed. And, you know, Louisiana in itself is known to be steeped, a place steeped for witchcraft and voodoo practice and so forth. And, you know, I want to say this last point before I close. It was so interesting to know that, you know, the Bahamas was doing so well for many years, escaping hurricanes. You know, they come near us and then they disappear. And as soon as some people may say, "Well, there's no connection." But I remember this quite distinctly, and people would remember quite well. You remember when we had that situation with the gay ships last year? It was shortly, just weeks after those ships came here, Mr. Miller. we were struck back to back. It's like those storms were guided by a hand. And anybody who don't see that, you know, they can't, they have to be denying the truth. Those storms were
Thank you for your observations. We have to go to a break.
Nation chain. And, you know, the money
Thank you. Thank you for your observations. We got to go to a break right now.
Sure.
This is Immediate Response. Our very special guest is Paul Miller of Turning Point Ministries. He says no to the lottery. He even says no to sports. We'll be back right after the break. Our very special guest today is Paul Miller of Turning Point Ministries. He is opposed to the national lottery, and he's also opposed to some other things. This is your newspaper column?
Yes, sir.
In his newspaper column of yesterday?
Yes, sir. Nassau Guardian.
He's also opposed to the church games, you know, that the Bahamas Christian Council has announced that the various churches are going to come together and have church games. Paul Miller is opposed to those church games. And I believe that's because you think the church should be doing other things than running and playing.
Yes, sir. If they want to play for fun, it's okay. But if they're playing for competition, that's where the problem lies. Even from school time, I've realized that if you're not an H student, nothing happens for you. God doesn't operate like that. On the playing field, we go, we're all at one level. No one is greater than the other. Who much is given, he said, much is required. Here again, the one who much is given is not going to look down at those who have less.
Listen to this, Fox, man. Mr. Miller, your guest sounds like a Christian extremist. Jesus played with children and Moses danced. I agree we must set proper rules according to the Bible, but not extremist. Your guest makes Christianity sounds impossible to live. I don't gamble because that is my choice. God gave us all a choice to guide our souls. How many politicians, police, and pastors gamble? You have a choice. God is our final and only judge.
But that don't make it right. I said that earlier, that God do give us a choice. God did play with the kids, but he didn't, it wasn't about competition.
They're saying you're extremist.
I am an extremist on Christian principles. What do I mean by that? I must show love, don't care what. I'm at the same level.
But when you going to say to enter high school sports is a sin? When you going to say the CAC, the Olympics is a sin too?
Yes, it is. Mr. Miller, the sin principle is based on competition. God does not want us to compete against each other. If you want to go there and play a simple game of basketball or baseball or whatever, once the attire is right, fine.
Gotcha.
I'll be down there to
Immediate
play with you.
Immediate response, you're on there. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. I should congratulate you this morning. Well, always a good work that you've been doing.
Thank you.
I like to say, according to what Mr. Miller is saying, if we look at the scripture and we see that God himself said to each his own. I'm a pastor of Grace Star Outreach Feeding Ministry of Grace Star Ministries. God said to each his own. When they brought Mary Magdalene to him, he didn't judge her. He wrote on the ground and said, "He that here without sin cast the first stone." If he meant that you were without sin, cast the first stone. As Christians, we are to uphold what he tells us to uphold. We are to go out there and make disciples. And those people who are not disciples, he say, let the tares and the wheat grow together till the day of harvest. God has a day of harvest. Even if not all in, it's a day for harvest. That's a day for harvest. The time we are to preach the word, stay in the word. And the things that is of the world. He tells us that we don't partake with the things of the world, but partake of the things that is of God. As things of God, we are the light of the world. If we live this, then those who do not know God will come to God, and they will do right. We must consider all those children that is out there, and there, let us look at the rich children do not partake in this, and the Olympic is only the poor children, and they do not have the money. So if that legalizing the, if legalizing...
You against the Olympics too?
No. If legalizing the number will help the Olympics, let it go.
Thank you very much.
You understand?
Thank you very much for your call.
Too many of the children are out there today. We got hungry children out there. The things are not helping.
Thank you very much.
We need to help that situation.
Thank you for your call.
Hassan, a minister of the gospel saying, if you need funds to help our kids succeed in whichever area financially they need to be exceeding in, legalize the gambling. The Bible gives the example. If your brother is hungry, feed him. If he is naked, clothe him. That's the job of the Christian.
But do you know that in this country, I believe there is only one home for the homeless?
That's sad. We have a church just on every street corner. And this is why I tell you...
There is only one home for the homeless.
That's sad, Brother Miller. And this country has plenty of money.
It's operated by Great Commission Ministries, Walter Hanschel.
And that shouldn't be. Every church.
But do you know how many homeless people there are?
Hundreds, I believe.
And only one home.
That's bad.
And I believe he's overcrowded. Probably 60, 70 people.
And stand on the word of God. If Christ should come today, all those Christians would be lost. All those churches would be lost. Because Christ has said straight in his word. He said, I was hungry and you feed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Then he's going to say to some, you didn't do it. Depart from me, I know you not. This is why I say the church doesn't have any power. Because when people look at the church, where the power is, as a matter of fact, in Jesus Christ's ministry, he helped everybody. And he said, foxes have holes and the birds have, the Son of Man have no place to lay his head. So what is the church doing? Playing sports. Encouraging the number game. When we have more money than we can shake a stick at to help our brothers and sisters who are less fortunate than us.
Immediate response, you're on the air, hello. Immediate response, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You all right?
Yes, you're on there.
Yeah, Mr. Miller. I heard the gentleman was talking. Yeah. If they don't want any lottery in the Bahamas, all these chiefs get the billions, not millions. Each chief give the sports $1 million a year. And then we don't have them.
Not each church, eh?
Each church.
No, man. Churches don't make $1 million.
All right. The set with these big churches then.
And the only few churches making that kind of money.
No, all right. The set who making it, let them put it here. Mm-hmm. The set who talking, the small set, let them put this here. You see? Because it could go to the children, the needy children. It could go to sport. And you could go to Hurricane Funds. See?
Gotcha.
And then I in for the lottery. I tell you.
Thank you very much. Immediate response, hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, you're on.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. Darrell.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling concerning the... comment your guest made about church being involved in sports. Well, I can identify myself. This is Bishop Moses Johnson from the Church of God Cathedral, situated on East Street in Lillian Valley Corner.
Hi, Bishop.
Okay, how you doing, man?
Great.
Good. I was listening to your conversation, and glued to the television, and... Well, very impressed by what your guest had to say. And one of these days I'm going to drop you our view on gambling, because we have several pages in our minutes from our General Assembly. It's all written, and I'm probably going to drop it off by you. It'll be take too much time to go through it today. But my comment today is about the sports. The Bible says that bodily exercise profited little. But we must understand that in order for us to keep this body in shape, we must serve the whole man, mind, soul, and spirit. In other words, in order for us to keep our bodies healthy, we have to exercise. There is absolutely nothing wrong with playing sports. It is a discipline that has helped our young people, middle-aged and elderly alike, to live good lives, healthy lives in this country. And I commend the churches that, especially the Seventh-day Adventists, that teach their members to eat properly and to exercise a lot. And it will show, statistics will show, that persons who exercise and eat properly do live longer. I believe that sports is a viable tool for our young people to become disciplined, and the Bible is not against it. There is absolutely nothing wrong. And as far as competition is concerned, when I was a boy growing up in school, I always wanted to be number one, two, or three. Competition is good.
What about the church? What about the church games?
There's nothing wrong with the church games. That's a good thing that the Christian Council is doing, because what it does, when I go to play basketball on these parks, the young men, they curse too much. And sometimes we need to get ourselves together where we can be in an atmosphere where we can share with each other. The Baptist, the Anglican, the Church of God, all of us need to come together and have good, wholesome, Christian, fun-filled activities.
Bishop, on the lottery. Church of God, people play the lottery.
Well, you know, Darrell, I don't know that Church of God people play the lottery. Maybe they do. I don't have any statistics to say whether that they do or they don't. But our stance on the lottery has been from day one that we oppose the lottery because it bears a burden on too many of our poor people.
Okay.
And in the Bible, Jesus talks about stewardship, and a man should take care of his money. And any man that cannot take care of his family is worse than an infidel. And so we're concerned that if persons make a salary and give 10% to the church and do what God has asked them to do in the Bible, we are convinced that they will be blessed and there will be no need for a lottery in this country.
Thank you very much. Drop me that position you have.
I will.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Bishop Moses Johnson of the Church of God Cathedral, East Street, and Lily of the Valley Corner. Did you want to comment on that?
The only thing I wanted to say on that is I'm not against simple playing of games. I'm not against exercise. As a matter of fact, our program promotes exercise on our program we have every week. But when you're going to play for competition, and when you're going to try to hurt the other brother or sister, this is where the problem lies in the Word of God.
Good day, Darrell. I think that all would agree that when you gamble, you are depending on something called luck. Ask your guest, please, to read Isaiah 65, verses 11 and 12, to see the Creator's view. Isaiah 65, verses 11 and 12. Please ask your guest if his views on the participation in sporting activities for competition is the position of his religion, or is it just a personal view? We didn't even ask your religion. It's Seventh-day Adventist?
Yes, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, and I'm not here representing the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm here representing my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the view of my Heavenly Father. As my church stands, you have to call them and ask them on
that. This is your personal view.
It's based on my convictions handed to me from my Heavenly Father that competition sports does not benefit anybody.
Isaiah 65,
11, let me read it. 11 and 12.
Isaiah 65, 11 and 12. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. I don't see the connection.
It sounds, if they're backing up what I say, that when you turn against the will of the Lord, disaster will come upon you. Because that's what I got when you read it. I didn't get from it that it's encouraging the Lord, or we're saying that we must listen to the counsel of the Lord. And once we follow the counsel of the Lord, then those things that the Lord said will not happen to us.
Immediate response, hello.
Hey, Darryl.
Hey.
Listen, are you taking a survey on this lottery matter today?
No, I just entertaining views on it.
Yeah, because I'm ready to vote. And I think this is where it's going to end up. We're going to have to vote on this.
You voting yes or no?
Definitely, man. We needed it. It is here now, and we need to make it legal. There's too much great benefits to be gained, and we are just kicking the ball around. I wonder whether you went down to CC Sweden yesterday. I thought you might have given us a report on that.
No, I went to E.P. Roberts.
Oh, yes? Is it as the people are complaining?
Huh?
Is it as the people are complaining?
E.P. Roberts is fine. C.C. Sweeting is, I might get there today or tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Now, okay.
I want your friend to consider Ecclesiastes chapter 10 or 12 that talk about food for merriment, wine for the dance, but money being the answer for all things. I would like to hear what he has.
Ecclesiastes?
Chapter 12, I think it is.
I guess you're just focusing on the powers and money answer to all things.
Definitely.
I like that. Fine.
Oh,
could you find that for us?
Oh,
I want to read that. Ecclesiastes 12, thereabout. Thank you.
That's right, sir.
Thank you.
Enjoy the fun.
Oh, Pop is holding. Hello?
Darryl.
Hey.
Yeah, don't worry. The card, my minutes are almost finished. I remember you say when cell phones call to tell the dawn, you can come. I ain't going to waste time talking about that. I could talk to you off there about that. I just called to say, I listened to Levan last week, Friday, and when he was talking about gambling stuff. Darryl, a lot of time, you know, not only about the gambling thing, Levan is making a lot of sense. And I support with the gambling. You know, to the sports. But if the Bible and God don't fool me, then I agree with what you're saying. But like I told you before, so many things that we could do to make a living and help our athletes, different from a lottery or gambling. God has been so good to us, bring us from so far, Darryl. People them should be allowed to do just what they want to do in the country. And if they for a lottery, like I think Darryl said earlier, sir, we should give it to them if the majority of them want it. No, but the main thing about it, us who stand in principles and who believe in God, we got to stand our principles, Darryl. We are in the minority, but we got to stand up and say no against it, Darryl. When you don't do that, the prostitutes won, right? The drug dealers won, right? People want marijuana legalized. People won't be able to use their coke. What we need to talk about is how we need to stop allowing us alcohol to be selling around so loosely. That's a drug that we don't even look at. I know sometimes I mix drugs and lottery up together, but to me, it ain't no difference, brother. But I would encourage your guests to keep up the good work, man, and say no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Ecclesiastes 10 and 19. Now, we can't just read one verse and get the whole context, but anyway.
Guess you can start from 17.
Ecclesiastes 10.
Oh, we're starting with 16.
Let me just read 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things.
There's one thing money cannot answer, and that's eternal life. That's one thing for sure. And it cannot.
But eternal life is not a thing, is it?
It's a gift that God has given to every man on planet Earth. And man can lose it by giving it back to Christ. Because when Christ died on the cross, he paid the price for everybody. He took away the second death. There's no reason for us to receive eternal damnation. He gave all of us that thing called eternal life. Do we want it? No, I don't think most of us don't want it.
Okay, so other than that, you believe money answers all things?
No, money doesn't answer all things.
Other than eternal life?
No, it doesn't. Money cannot bring back life. There are millions of people right now laying in the grave. Not millions, I just said maybe hundreds of people laying in the grave. They have many assets. And I'm sure if their families could turn those assets into receiving them, giving them back the bread of life, they would do that. Because they miss their family members. It cannot give that person back their life. Now, money can be used to preach the gospel of eternal life. But it cannot answer all things. Never did, never will.
Immediate response, hello.
Hi, Darrell.
Hi.
A few quick comments and then a question for you. Exodus chapter 20 and 17 says that thou shalt not covet. When we as Christians and non-Christians participate in gambling, what are we doing? Is it not coveting? Are we not trying to, by some quick means, gather something that we're not willing to go out there and work for? That is indeed coveting. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says that we should be content with such things as ye have. Okay?
You ever bought a raffle ticket?
No, I haven't.
What's your position on raffles?
I don't believe in purchasing raffle tickets. I would not buy a raffle ticket.
That's coveting too, then.
I would say it is.
I bought a raffle ticket before. Since I became a Christian, I bought a raffle ticket. And what happened was, what made me buy a raffle ticket was, what he was trying to raise the money for was a good cause. So what I did was, I gave the ladies the money and I wrote Jesus' name on the ticket. I said, now if he should win the gift, you have the responsibility to send the gift to him. I don't want a gift. I was trying to help what he was raising the funds for. And I tried to give her the money without getting the ticket. She said, well, don't work like that. I said, okay, that's $5 towards the raffle ticket. I said, I write in Jesus' name on each one. If he should win the prize, please send it heavenward. Because I was trying to give them funds that God has blessed me with to help the cause that he was trying to raise the funds for.
Amen.
You just give the money without a gift. You don't need no return.
Exactly.
God is going to give us the return.
And Darrell, another scripture here for you. And it's Proverbs 13:11, and it says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. And then
Proverbs.
You made a comment that 80%.
Proverbs what?
It's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Mm-hmm. And it says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. You made a comment that 80% of our population plays the lottery, but then we have to ask ourselves certain questions. What percentage of that population are not taking care of those of their families? We have a serious problem today where men are not taking care of their families, they're not taking care of their children, and we see it almost every week where the mothers go down and they put them in court to try and get child support. What percentage of these people are taking that same money and gambling illegally now? And what happens when we go forward and legalize that gambling? How much worse does that problem get? What percentage of our population right now is hopelessly in debt? I mean, up to their eyeballs in debt. And what happens when you turn around and take that same gambling that's going on illegally, make it legal? How much more of that money that can be used to help the poor, help the needy, for men to take care of their families, how much of that money is going to now be pumped into something like gambling? It doesn't make sense. We always boast and claim to be a Christian nation. But then what happens? We walk away from those things that God told us that we should be doing, and we turn our feet towards things that we should not be doing.
Thank you very much. Immediate response, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Darrell.
Hey.
Yeah, man, how are you today?
Great.
Rev, how are you?
No, I'm not a Rev. I'm just a deacon, whatever you want to call it, but not Rev. Psalms 111 verse 9 says wrong to call a man Rev.
I don't want to call you Rev if you're a bishop.
He's not a rabbi.
Just call me deacon.
Yeah, okay, deacon.
Yes, sir.
You know, Darrell, that is one of my concerns is, and this is what I see, and then I will comment on a lot of it. You know, understanding the Bible and interpreting the Bible and preaching it to your people. You know, that is why I say it's got to be somewhere. When the Christian Council got to establish something, when they that at least. When you become a minister preaching to a congregation or a pastor of a church, at least you should be able to submit something that you're qualified from some recognized college to disseminate the word, you know, so that you would be better knowledgeable. to understand the scriptures and the Bible and interpret the scriptures properly.
What's the point?
My thing is, I'm not a preacher, right? But
what's the point about that? What are you saying?
Yeah, because when you read a scripture, and you, there could be many situations in that particular scripture. It's the intent. It's the intent of that. You know, you say to gain riches. We are not seeking to gain riches. We are seeking to help. We're seeking to help situation. We're seeking to help the education. We're seeking to help the sports. We're seeking to help. So it's the intent. When you look back when humans offered living sacrifice, they killed. It was the intent. And I'm not a preacher, you know. But I already say the government must make sure these things. Personally, Dara, I'm for a national lottery. Why? Because I'd rather spend my $20 or $10 on a number, realizing in myself, and I don't think God would do anything to me. And then another point too. God had nothing to do with the killing of the devastation of those people in Louisiana and Mississippi. I don't want anybody to get up preaching that kind of. And I recall when Freeport, when the hurricane came down, Floyd, all the devastation. God had nothing to do with that. God don't do evil things like that. God was in the voice. You know where I saw God? God was in the voice who said to the people, evacuate. That's where God was.
Thank you very much.
You know, we're talking about God. Listen. And you know, another point, Darrell, we must be careful. We are helping. Our intent is to help, not to gain riches. Our intent is to help the poor.
Thank you very much.
I want to make a comment. I'm not saying that God caused the destruction in the United States of America. I said he allowed it to happen. He removed his protecting edge. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamp about them that fear him and love him. So in order for the devil to touch you, he has to get permission from God.
But your suggestion mm-hmm. is that Katrina hit Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi because they are sinful states. That's your suggestion.
Several activities take place there, but not everyone there participated in the
civil
activity.
And your suggestion is that God did it.
No, I didn't know. Satan did it. God allowed it to happen. Let me repeat that. Satan did it. God allowed it to happen. Why did he do it? If we remain faithful, when we get to heaven, we will find out why he allowed it to happen. By this, a matter of fact, the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So today, if there's a Christian in Louisiana or wherever the destruction had happened over a couple of weeks, days ago, be assured that God is still with them. Although they see no hope at the end of the tunnel, they have to be assured that God loves them, he's with them, at the end of the day, he's going to get the glory. He loves them with an everlasting love. And the Bible is quite clear. He wished that none of us should perish. And the Bible says that Jesus wept for his friend Lazarus. Be assured he's weeping for us today. Because he loves us. He came on earth and paid an ultimate price for us. When he went before Pilate said, I find no fault with this man. And still yet, they nailed him upon the cross. And he uttered not a word.
Immediate response. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Miller.
Hey.
How you doing?
Great.
Good afternoon to your guests.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
I want to say, boy, I listen to you on Sunday evening. You have something else. But anyhow, be encouraged.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Mr. Miller, in this world, we have two classes of people, the sinners and those who are saved by grace. As far as I'm concerned, I feel like the lottery has taken the position away from teaching our children how to work. You know, this is a problem that our country is faced with today. Work. Because everybody wants the fast buck. Now, I don't have any problem who want to do it. But I have a problem with what it brings to us many times, disaster. And so I call upon the people of the Bahamas to think. Think it over. Now, if you are third mammon, you say mammon. But I feel like we need to get back to the old landmark where we teach our children, not the fast buck. Okay, you take the drug situation. The drug situation among us has caused many pain, mm-hmm. many pain in different forms. But that's where the country went in the 80s, you know? And so I call upon the people of the Bahamas to think about this, whether lottery or whether God.
Thank you.